Earth Rock Podcast.
Drew, how are you guys tonight? Huh? You guys are living proof tonight that people actually come to church on Memorial Day weekend. So I know that God's already given us all the credit that we need, but you know, if we were giving out stars, you guys would get it this week. Okay? Hey, we're so glad to have you here tonight, and we are in the middle of our series titled what? The Royal, right? The Royal, in which we've been talking about that when we're adopted into God's family, that we are adopted into a royal family, right? That our very nature changes. That's what the book of Ephesians teaches us. And we've been looking through Ephesians chapter 1, and now we've moved into Ephesians chapter 4. And tonight, it's my pleasure to talk to you about this whole idea of a royal community, okay? So we've talked about royal identity, we've talked about royal family, and tonight we're talking about being a royal community. And before we jump in, I just wanted to pray, and then we will get into the word here a little bit, all right? Well, Father, we do just take a moment tonight. Lord, we recognize that as part of your body, Lord, as part of those whom you have called to yourself, Lord, that we represent you. We reflect your values. We reflect your spiritual DNA. And Lord, we just, as much as we know how tonight, Lord, we ask you to move in our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to show us how to move forward as a spiritual community, that you would open our eyes to your word, that your Holy Spirit would inspire us as your word speaks to our hearts about the transformation that you've done in us and continue to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So if you guys would just be a little bit patient, we're working on some of our sound issues. You may have noticed over the last couple of weeks, we're making some tweaks. We're bringing in some professional folks to help us get the sound EQ'd a little bit better, so that your time here with us as a royal community is always as enjoyable as it can be, all right? So how many of you guys would agree with me that there's been a lot said and a lot written about this whole idea of community, right? The community is something that some people use as a social media reference, and others use as talking about entire demographics of people, right? And I think that we'd also agree tonight that everybody wants to be a part of a community. Can we agree with that? That everybody's called to be a part of a community. Everybody wants to be in community with others. But can I just be real honest with you tonight? Not a lot of people actually find community in this world. In fact, there's a guy named Andy Brainer that started a camp for youth that struggle with issues of isolation and feeling alone called Kivu, K-I-V-U, and they do that up towards the Durango area. But he's also an author and a blogger, and he just put out a book called Alone, How to Find Community in a World that is Connected in a Lot of Ways Without Really Finding Connection or Community. And so if his observations are right, if his research is correct, if my observation is on target, the American church today is plagued by a deep-seated loneliness in which we tend to overemphasize some of the celebration moments of church, right? The big events, the church services, and yet, if we were honest, we could probably say that there are some here today that sit in a group of people and still feel pretty lonely. Is that fair? So again, the idea today, whether we agree or disagree with some of the premises that I'm trying to establish here, either way, a royal, someone that's called to be in royal community, someone that's been adopted by King Jesus, given a new identity, given a spiritual family and a namesake that releases God's empowering presence, his power, and his prevailing promises in our lives, then of course, we also would believe that everyone wants to be somebody that could be counted on and to have a community of people that we can count on. Would you agree with that? Good, because that's all I got tonight. That's all we're talking about, all right? So a few questions that I've been wrestling with as we prayed through and as we work into our scriptures tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. A couple of questions that I want us to be thinking about in the context of this message. One, what makes up community? I mean, what really is
What does it mean to be a part of a community and to be community with one another? Second one that I want us to think about is, how can we really surround ourselves with friends that make up community in our lives? And beyond that, how can we test to see if our community is one that will stand the test of time, the pressures of life, right? And finally, I'm going to take some time to talk about, what does community look like here at North Rock Church, okay? So we've taken some time to review what we've done in the Royal Series. And then as we lean into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 14, Paul seems to change his direction a little bit of his letter to the church at Ephesus. Remember, the first three chapters has all been about what that identity change happened in you, who we are because of who we represent and whose family we belong to. And as he gets into Ephesians chapter 4, you remember the first seven verses, he talked about this idea that we are held by kind of that bond of unity through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Through the spirit spirit of peace through the bond of unity, right? Or bond of peace through the spirit of unity, that's it. And so in Ephesians chapter 7 through 14, he's saying, now that's the purpose of the church. And in 7 through 14, he starts to talk about really the function of that spiritual family, the function of what it means to be a spiritual community of faith, okay? So let's open up your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. We're going to read these seven verses, and then I'm going to talk to you just about three things that really make up royal community, all right? So verse 7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives, and he gave gifts to the people, to his people. Verse 9 says, notice that it says he ascended. And this clearly means that Christ also descended into our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens, so that, you guys know why they put "so that's" in these scriptures for us? So we can find out what that "so that's" there for, right? So that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Oh, that excites me, Pastor Andrew. You guys follow that, right? It says that he ascended so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Catch that, because it's gonna connect to us here as his spiritual community in just a minute here. It says, verse 11, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Now this will continue until we have all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of every new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more to be like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly together. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that a good section of scripture, church? You guys catch the promises in that? In fact, one of the things that I love about this idea of spiritual community is, as God defines it through Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 14, but especially in that verses 14 through 16, is simply this, that the church is the only organization in the world, it's the only organism, it's the only living, breathing entity of people that's guaranteed success. All right, did you guys catch that? And it says, very clearly that as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So again, those are some of the identity markers of spiritual community. So when you're looking for spiritual community, those are the things that we're looking for. And this idea of the church being guaranteed that success is built upon Jesus' own words, who said very clearly, right, that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand it, right? Health, growth, full of love. That's our promise. That's our heritage. That's what the spiritual community of faith, those who follow Christ, are promised. But how? That's what we're wrestling with today. How is it that we can lean into spiritual community? I don't know, maybe some of you are different than I am, but I can tell you it takes discipline in my life to stay connected to a community of people. Anybody else going to be honest with me tonight? That sometimes it's easier to just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to make it on my own. I'm going to try to do it this way. I'm going to try to do it that way. But really, the thing that I love about the metaphor of Paul's language in this is that the body is connected to the head. And that as each part of the body does its work, health and life and vitality and strength is birthed from that, right? How many of you guys have ever had parts of your body that aren't working the way that they're supposed to be working? John Gentry's like, amen, right? Amen, man. Amen. See you at the top, brother. Yeah. Yeah, I could go on, I could talk to you about three or four things right now that cause people to walk up to your pastor and just say, oh, are you okay? Are you limping a little bit today? And I usually say, yeah, it's Kyle's fault. Kyle put me through the ringer. No, usually I say, no, that's just an old bull riding injury, or no, I did this a long time ago, and and the weather changes, sometimes I limp a little bit. But I call it my normal walk, right? But the promise that Paul reminds us of is that when his body is working correctly, all of these things are part of his promises for us. We are his royal family via this idea of community of life. Okay, so my big idea for today is simply this, that as a royal, as those who have been transformed by a relationship with Jesus Christ, a royal contributes to their community. Meaning that we bring our gifting, the time, the talents, the treasures that we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4, right? Because I know there are some here today that say, yeah, those are for somebody else. But no, it very clearly says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ, right? That a royal contributes those time, those talents, and those treasures. And in doing so, we actually participate as a community. Do you guys agree with that? That's good. It's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so we contribute, but we also collaborate with one another. That's part of being a community of faith. That we pool our energies and our strengths and the gifts that God has given us to make an impact in a world who is being transformed by what Christ's word tells us here. Okay, remember verse 10. It said that he might fill the entire universe with himself. That's the purpose. That's part of the mission of his body, of his church. How many of you guys have ever heard of a company called Starbucks? Yeah. Most people would agree that Starbucks has a pretty aggressive marketing plan. They have a pretty aggressive business plan. And I've actually heard it said that when they talk to their employees, that part of their goal, their mantra, is that we'd get a Starbucks on every corner, on every street, in the whole world, right? That's pretty aggressive, but that doesn't even hold a torch to what Jesus just said about his church, right? That the idea that Paul says is that we might fill the universe with himself. So again, part of being a community of faith is that we contribute, not just so we can be a bunch of little lights doing stuff on our own, yay, but that we would contribute towards something far greater, far grander, far more amazing than any of us could ever do on our own. That's what being a spiritual community is about. And finally, the last thing that they talk to us about in this passage is that they become champions of their community. I know that as I stand here and talk to you, the body of Christ, those who have gifts and dreams and passions and promises from God that are far beyond anything we've been able to accomplish thus far in this church and through the ministry of this church. And in the previous 26 years, I can tell you this, God's done some amazing stuff in this church. You guys may not be aware of it, but you know we support 7 different missionaries around the world because we collaborate together, because we champion things outside of ourselves. You guys know that we've been able to plant 6 different churches over the last 26 years. It's part of how God works when we participate as a part of something greater. And I can tell you, as a young man who gave my life to the Lord, sitting in a far back right kind of corner in a different building a long, long time ago in this church knows how to do community well. It knows how to help somebody that feels isolated, feels alone, feels like, you know, I'm kind of visiting this thing, but I'm not really sure where I fit or how I fit. This church knows how to get you where you need to get to. So, again, the idea is that each one of us has been given a special gift through the generosity of Christ, and that the idea of being the community of faith, being the body of Christ, is that it's not just that we give because He gave, but we give away what He's given us. Does that make sense? I think that's an important distinction, that we give what He gives, right? And it's not just a one-time transaction. What He continues to give in and through us, He wants us to take to others. Royal community is a give-and-take relationship. That's the first thing that I wanted to establish with you guys today. Royal community is a give-and-take relationship. It says in verse 10 and verse 11, the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay, so when you use those words and you create a little acronym out of it, the word is APEST. Everybody say APEST. Okay, an APEST is a inside church kind of leadership lingo for apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, right? And it's also a reason why my conviction is that as a church, we need to be a people who hear from our apostles, from our prophets, from our teachers, from our evangelists, and our shepherds. Do you guys understand why that's important? An important balance in a church's community life? Because it allows the body of Christ to be led by the head and not just a personality on a stage. Does that make sense to you guys? That's part of why we team teach around here. That's part of why we make room for others to use their gifts in a way that makes a difference, especially when it comes to providing royal community in this world, because none of us have all the gifts. I know it's hard to believe that with me standing right here, but it's true. None of us have all of the gifts, right? They've all been distributed. Glad I got a couple of people that know my sense of humor in this place. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh with the preacher every once in a while, right? See, the APEST model is the Ephesians 4 model. And I think that it's also a key ingredient for us becoming a tangible kingdom, purpose-driven kind of a congregation. Because there's a value, and that value is simply this around here at North Rock. Everybody plays. Everybody contributes. Everybody gets care as we offer care. And that's the way we move from a place of isolation into feeling like we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. Remember, royal community is a give and a take relationship. Andy Brainer, the guy that I just mentioned to you, wrote in a blog called Community Isn't Just About Getting. He wrote this. He said, "Much of the time I find people who want to take from community for their own security. But rarely are communities designed where giving is the central focus." You guys know there's a part of God's royal family. We are one of those organizations, right? That giving is the central focus. It says that, "I know that this sounds strange and it may be a bit remedial, but you can't develop community when everybody is taking for their own needs. Community is a dynamic relationship of giving and taking. There's a rhythm of life where we all go through when some need and others have, and giving and taking develop strong ties of trust. But everyone knows about the guy or the girl who enters a community and wants all the focus to be on them. It never quite works out for them." It says, "Community is all about meeting the needs of others. Some days you'll have needs, and other days it will be somebody else's needs. In order to develop community, we have to start by giving first." So part of being a community of faith is that we give and we receive, right? Second thing that I wanted to talk about as being a part of a royal community and being a part of a community of faith here at North Rock is that royal community is about commitment, right? Andy Brainer again said, community is built on the bond of giving, trust, and reliance. If you can't commit or find it a struggle to commit, you're always going to be living with a group of people in the grayness of life. Isn't that a neat term, the grayness of life, to where we're really not sure how much and where we can actually count on people, right? He says, in reality, we have a strong desire to make sure that our lives are full of the most opportune moments. We struggle to commit to things long-term in case we're presented with a better option. If you live like this, your community is going to be weak. And he goes on to say, it's not a criticism, it's just a reality. How many of you guys know that we live in one of the most isolated and lonely cultures in history? And we've got all kinds of social media tools to help us from doing that, right? We Facebook, we Twitter, we Instagram, and yet, at the end of the day, and I talk to a lot of people, especially young people, that just don't feel any real sense of commitment, like somebody really knows them, and that they really have somebody that they can talk to and work out. That's why, again, to me, the church, as designed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 14, has the answer for so many people. They just want a place to belong and to become all that God has for them the same way he's doing it in us. So, again, verse 15 and 16 say, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And verse 16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Which brings me to the third and my final point of our message tonight is this. The royal community is about forgiveness. It's about learning to forgive one another because last week I promised you that if you really lean into community, you will be hurt. You will be hurt. But you'll also find healing, right? And that being part of a community that says I'm sticking in it from beginning to end is so that we learn how to really practice forgiveness in our life. There's a guy named Bob Marley. Anybody ever heard of him before? Oh, now I got some testimony in this place, right? Bob Marley, yeah. Bob Marley said, the truth is that everybody's going to hurt you. You just got to find the ones that are worth suffering for. Royal community is about forgiveness. See, we all start this journey of faith with this sense of idealism, right? The pastor's perfect. Good job, Lori. Lori's laughing with me. The church is completely saved. Nothing will ever happen in the context of church that I can be wounded by. We all start with some unrealistic expectations, don't we? Of others in the church that even us, as we know, we don't live up to, right? You know what I'm talking about. Or as Paul indicates, something that we need to grow out of, mature, and work through together in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Listen, every community, whether it's a family or a church or any other organization, will struggle through fights and disagreements. After all, we're all human, right? We're all human. But this is what I know about community, about being a part of a royal community, is this. If you want strong community, forgiveness has to be on the tip of our tongues at all times. Unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace can only be arrived at as on the other side of practicing Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, and leaning into verses 7 through 14, right? From the resources that chapters 1 through 3 challenged us about. That's who we really are. And that through community, we get a chance to test that out. We get a chance to invest the very best of who we are in the sense of community for the purpose of seeing community that goes beyond what we could do on our own. So, to forgive is a powerful bond of trust that we all need to learn. So let's get real practical. You guys ready to get down to the nitty-gritty as we close up our message here? How do we find community here at North Rock? What are the entry points? How is it that we can find a place to connect and belong and become all that God has for us? I don't know if you guys were here when I talked about the idea of our North Rock logo, having those three leaves symbolize something for us. Anybody remember that? That is, when I came here just over 8 months ago to be the pastor, I was praying through that with the Lord and just saying, Lord, is there something that we need to do in kind of rebranding and thinking about what you're going to do in this new season in our life, those kind of things. And he reminded me that the entire purpose of the church that we're reading about in Ephesians chapter 4 are three things, really. It's the Great Commission and the Great Commandment that's held together by great compassion, right? That we are called as a church, if we're going to embody spiritual community, to be a people of love, a people of worship, and a people of service. And that is really what that whole chat survey is about. That there are people that spend a lot of time on this stuff that have broken down to 10 traits that make up a healthy church experience for people. And so we're asking for some of the feedback in that because that's what the chat is all about. Okay, so again, it's not a Chad, like your pastor, it's a chat, church health assessment tool, okay? And in your participation in doing that, that gives us very important information that we use to bring together in a leadership conversation that's all submitted to prayer and the direction of our head, Jesus Christ, to make decisions that help us move forward in becoming a healthy, strong community of faith, okay? So, 10 characteristics are all up there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But when it comes to this idea of community, the middle three are what we're talking about. Learning and growing in the community. Okay, so again, for me, that's kind of the classes where we learn a bunch and that we connect with one another. The LCR, loving and caring relationships, that's more of a small group experience or what we call around here TKs, you know, tangible kingdom experience opportunities. And then the SLD, or servant leadership development piece, okay? So it's, again, the team's approach, right? Because we are Team North Rock. We are a people who are committed to the same cause because we believe so deeply in what God's done in our lives to see transformation reach Thornton and all around the world, okay? So with that said, I wanted to remind you guys of something that Hugh Halter shared with us, and he's with us. How many of you guys were here when Hugh was here? So I know how much I need to talk. Good. Quite a few of you. Hugh talked about this idea of a missional triangle and how our culture is changing around us out there, right? Where basically bottom line of what he talked about was that 80% of our culture just one generation ago was in church, right? They were Bible-believing, God-fearing people. They came to church and wanted to do that. Well, he talked about the idea that we built structures in that had, you know, kind of a heavy kind of financial load where you had the pastor, and then you had staff, and then you had the congregation, and then you had the crowd, and then you had your culture that was all outside, right? And the whole idea, the whole game, whether we bought into it or not, was that as church folk, we would go out and try to convince people to try to come in the building, right? And what he's talked to us about and what we really feel a conviction about here at North Rock is that we're a people that are on mission, that we're sojourners in our culture, that we're a missional people and not just, you know, ears to listen to a pastor talk all the time, right? And so the idea was that we would tip that structure on its side and do our very best to make decisions that help missional people be sojourners to connect to the culture and use the influence, the relationship, and the gifts that you read about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 14, to make a difference in people's lives. Let me ask you this. Even as I say that, how many of you guys would be honest with me and raise your hand and say, there's somebody on my heart right now that I could reach, that I know that God wants me to have an influence in their life? Yeah. There we go. All right. Good. Good, because he does. And that's how he intended his spiritual community to work, right? So, couple of things that we're going to do around here in order to try to live more in that paradigm or that church structure than the one that just kind of goes like that, very hierarchical. couple of things. One, chat survey. The reason we do chat is we want to hear your voice. We want to know how you're experiencing your time here and how we can help you find community within the community. We offer what we call connect groups all throughout the church, teams, classes, and groups that connect and meet on all kinds of different levels to try to help us find a place to grow and to really get to know one another. Okay. Second thing that we're going to be doing this summer, so my series this summer is going to be called The Great Adventure, because it's going to be a great adventure. And as part of that adventure, we're going to be intentionally investing a season of time in the church when church attendance has a tendency to decline, right? I mean, that's just one of the things about living in the beauty of Colorado. People like to go skiing and hiking and doing all kinds of things up in the mountains during summer. So a time when the attendance has a tendency to decline, otherwise known as summer, right, to meet our community where they're at. And so as part of that, we want to go out and meet people outside of the walls of this church. And so we are going to be taking a summer break from our Saturday night services, June through August. Okay? So before you start throwing stuff at your pastor, remember, this is a chance to practice forgiveness. I'm just giving you practical teaching tools. So this is what I have to say. I understand, even by the response of some of us in the crowd, that Saturday nights may be your only touch point here at North Rock. We understand that. And we've got all of our staff here. We'd like to talk with you after the service. We have some refreshments. We'd like to talk that through and maybe help you find a Saturday time party that doesn't do this exchange, but really gives you a chance to connect and relate and be a part of the body here over the next 3 months, okay? So for those of you that come to Saturday nights because it's your preference, but you really can make a Sunday, we still have services 9 and 11. You can still get messages if you want part of that on our podcast. But we're really hoping that this summer that everybody that calls this place home would go out and do spiritual community with others who may or may not be here, and that when we come back in fall, we'd have a few more friends with us that we can introduce to North Rock services, all right? So I know I'm not going to get a big applause for this decision, and I promise you, we really do honestly feel like God's called us to invest Saturdays into creating some kingdom parties that connect with our culture better than what we're doing right now. You absolutely will be invited to parties, and Pastor Sean is going to be helping us with the website management of some specific ones that we're going to be hosting as an entire church, and other ones that will already be going on that we can begin to promote and talk to you about, all right? Hey, look at that. I like her. Let's keep her. Let's do that, okay? Hey, if you guys wouldn't mind, would you please stand? And as I said, we understand that if this is your primary point of contact with North Rock, this is a tough decision. Believe me, it's been a tough decision. It's been processed with a lot of different leaderships and with hours and hours of discussion. We really do feel this is a directive that God's given us to connect, to rebuild, and to relaunch in the fall time, okay? So let's pray. What's that? Nope, so good question. June through August. So we're here tonight, we're here next week, and then we're going to begin that break, okay? Well, yeah, right. One more week, right? One more week, okay? So come back next week, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of community, Lord. And we know that in the sense of community, that it takes us being willing to give and receive to really find a place of community. Lord, we know that Royal Community is about commitments to one another in our giving, in our serving, in our loving, in our leading. And Lord, we also know that to really participate as a community of faith, that we've got to learn how to forgive one another and move through some tough seasons. And so, Lord, as we stand before you, we recognize that this is your body, this is your church, this is your spiritual community. And so, Lord, we ask you to guide us, to lead us, to encourage us, and to empower us for the seasons ahead. Lord, as we make a strategic decision in the life of our body, to try to get out beyond these walls this summer. Lord, we pray that you would bless those. Lord, I pray that everyone standing here tonight, Lord, would find some way to connect and to be a part of what you're doing in our midst. And Lord, because we chose to do it this way, there would be others that would meet you and meet them and find out that you are a loving God who has a great plan and a great purpose for their life. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.